You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed can sometimes be accompanied by hand gestures, which your sister may find offensive, but you think are hilarious. There's one in every family. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
All good. It's a beautiful rainy Saturday.
Well, it is, and I guess tires don't really wear out in the rain, do they? Well,
they do, of course, especially the way I was driving.
Oh, but I was watching the on dirt. They did Martinsville on dirt.
Yeah, how cool is that?
And they showed these tires that were this big, but they looked like tractor tires.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And they said no need to change them because they don't wear in the mud.
You know what? They don't. I did some off road racing years ago, uh-huh. and that was never a concern. The concern was rolling the truck during the race. But yeah, tires really didn't wear.
No, but the roof and glass would pop out like a gun. Eh?
Oh yeah, that was all bad. Anyway, it's a lovely Saturday, and we have a couple of special guests in studio. We have Jack Benzikar from Tire Butler, and Brian Redinger.
Hello,
hello,
good morning, guys.
Good morning.
and Brian, of course, is the son of the namesake of this radio show.
That's right. He kind of looks like a little Dave. I don't know if he's going to like that, but...
I kind of look like him, yes.
Yeah. Same laugh, too, as a matter of fact.
That's true.
Now, Jack's been on with us before. He's the founder and head butler at Tire Butler. How are you, Jack?
I'm great, and it's great to be here.
I'm surprised you have enough energy. This is like the craziest time of year to do this, right?
It started about 3 weeks ago, and our teams are going nonstop. The trucks are running nonstop, and... It's a crazy time of year, but it's a fun time of year.
Yeah, and you know, it's the weatherman can make you crazy, eh? Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden, so 2 weeks last week, it's plus 20, and people are going, I need to get them done today. People don't realize, you know, you've only got so many assets, so much people to do the work, right?
Exactly.
You're probably booking for May already at this point.
We're booked through probably till mid-May. it's kind of funny. You know, during the wintertime, you get people panicking, and I get it. It's like, there's a snowstorm tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, you buy on... You know, buy on rumors, sell on news type of thing.
Yeah.
And here it's like, you don't have to call. Tomorrow morning it's going to be sunny. I need my tires on right away.
I know. I had somebody freaking out. I said, they're not going to friggin' melt. Okay. Just chill. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. People drive to Florida, you know, during the winter. You need snow tires to drive to Florida and come back. So it's not going to kill the tires.
It's not that bad. It's not ideal, but it's not that
it's
bad.
Not that
and,
bad.
You know, obviously we advocate for winter and summer tires here. And, you know, that's the way I deal with it.
Yeah.
And speaking of driving, we've got Colin Casey with us. From
yes.
Pinnacle Driving Academy.
Yeah, they do lots of things. They've got an autocross series. They do driver training at Toronto Motorsport Park, which is the best thing because they encourage people to get to the track and don't race on the street.
Now, question. It's usually pretty tough to tell a guy that he doesn't know how to drive.
Oh, yes.
So, but I guess here they're asking for help.
That's the thing. When you go to a racing school, hopefully you're, you know, some gentleman can get over their ego. when I was teaching a lot, I really preferred to teach women.
Uh-huh.
At you know that first performance driving school, they're so much easier to teach than dudes. I think it was Mario Andretti who said there's two things you can't tell men. One is how to drive and the other is how to make love. That's it.
All right. And of course, and at the end of the show, or before the end of the show, obviously, we got Trevor Hutchison from Crown, who's going to have a special prize. So you may want to assure that you're tuned in for that.
Yes, and you have your phone number, your phone ready to dial.
Yes,
that's all I'm going to say.
I'll give out the number later because I don't need you calling now. We got stuff to do, and we're going to get to that right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with my pal Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors, Jack Benzikar from Tire Butler, and our pal Brian, who's joining us as a surprise. This is very cool. We get to talk cars all morning.
Very cool. Thanks for having me.
All right. And tires. Tire Butler. Okay. Did you see your biggest growth in terms of, you know, the size of the company and everything because of COVID or during COVID?
Not really.
You know, sorry, where people wanted like a touchless kind of interaction.
We grew, a bit from COVID, but the real impetus of growth was real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be in downtown in this area, you know, there'd be garages everywhere. But as real estate became more valuable, the guys at the little garages couldn't afford to be downtown anymore.
Right.
And so I was living downtown and I needed tires one day. And it was like, I had to drive. It was right around the corner. I was living at, Tecumseh and Queen, and I had to drive to Etobicoke to get tires. And I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous. Why can't somebody come to me? And that's how it started. So real estate was the impetus. And COVID did help because a lot of the businesses were closed. The dealerships mm-hmm. were closed. And as an essential service, we were doing police departments and other things. It helped grow our business. But thankfully, we didn't grow because of COVID, because as you notice, every business that's grown because of COVID has come down once COVID sort of passed. So,
and for people who are maybe not familiar with it, tell us exactly what you guys do.
We're a complete mobile tire service and sales business. So mm-hmm. anything you could get at a normal tire shop, we will do. We send fully equipped trucks to your home or office. You can buy all major brands from us. We'll come and install them. We'll take away your seasonal tires to store them. We can repair your rims when they're off season if they're damaged. We'll do balancing. We have road force balancing systems. We've got everything you need from any tire aspect for a vehicle.
So instead of someone going to a tire shop, you guys come to them.
We bring the tire shop to them.
It's absolutely perfect. Yeah. It makes so much sense.
One call and we do it all.
There you go. Okay, that's it. My new copywriter. There you go.
Al's going to send you a bill for that. Yeah. One.
So, question: for example, I buy a new car, and now hopefully it's not December when I'm calling you. It's October, November, but I think I need a tire and wheel package. How would I go about that?
You just call us, and you can go online, or you just call us, and we'll actually give you all your options, mm-hmm. your downsize options. We tend to recommend downsizing for wintertime.
Uh-huh.
We only sell direct fit rims, so we don't sell multi-fit at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually more perfect fit, so that you use the same bolts for the wheels, same. There's no centering rings or anything. And we'll put the sensors if you need them, the proper tires. We'll ask you what type of driving you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you go up north? If you go up north, you go skiing, you're going to need a bit more of an aggressive tire. If you're an urban driver, you know, we want to get you more of an ice slushy type of tire. So we'll talk you through it. We'll ask the proper questions and get you what you need. And then we just come to your home or office and install it.
So basically, they're all prepped beforehand.
We'll prep them there. Sometimes we'll build a certain unique vehicles. We'll want a test fit first. So we'll come to your house and we'll make sure. And if the wheel fits, if there's a caliper package we maybe didn't know about or something, we'll test fit it there and then we'll build it right on the spot.
Right, for people who aren't familiar with that, you see when we downsize, when you're taking a vehicle that got 20 or 22 inch wheels, you don't want to use those in winter times. So you want to go with a smaller rim with a wider sidewall and you have to make sure it'll fit.
That's the thing. So we were talking off air about this Mercedes electric that I was driving.
Yeah.
It had there's a standard brake package, and then there's an optional brake package. Mine had the optional brake package, which is these massive carbon ceramic rotors, and they needed 21-inch wheels to clear. So that's the kind of stuff you guys have to really pay attention to.
Exactly. And we'll tend to get that information from, we'll get everybody's VIN numbers before so we can look up the car and we know exactly what's on the package. But, you know, sometimes somebody's made a change on the car, you know. One year we sold a set of wheels to somebody on an Audi, and they got a brake job. And the wheels wouldn't go back. They were rubbing the next season. And we didn't know what happened. And what actually happened was that Audi had changed the caliper. Mm. And the Audi logo was engraved. So it was raised. So the Audi logo was bumping on the spokes.
Wow.
It was really interesting.
Wow.
So because they had used just labels and paint. And then the next time it was an engraved, raised caliper cap.
So, yeah, I mean, for the most part, people don't know. I mean, they'll say, they're blue.
Yeah.
You know? I think they're red. Which part are you talking about?
Exactly.
You know? You're the tire guy. I'm not a tire guy.
Yeah, you're supposed to know everything. That's a, there's a, you're, I mean, not just as a business, but you know, the your technicians have to know a lot of stuff, because we think that dealing with tires and wheels is an easy thing, and it's really not.
It's not. It's funny you say that, because everybody who I've ever brought into the business to help us with, whether it's the technology software, come leave saying, I cannot believe how complicated tires are. So we really, you know, our technicians are all TIA certified, and they go through a whole 2-3 day course, and then that's just one portion of it. And then they get tested and go on, and it keeps going on and on.
Well, hey, that's the only connection between your car and the road, right?
Exactly.
It's important.
So
it's got to be done right.
Yep. 100%.
All right.
Yep.
And you got to drive right.
Well, we've got Colin Casey from Pinnacle Driving Academy coming on after the break, and we're going to talk about performance driving.
We are. You think it could teach us something?
Maybe.
I think we have to be receptive.
Yes. Well, you're going to racing school, I heard.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gellman, as well as Jack Benzikar from Tire Butler, and Brian Redinger, who's the son of the namesake of the show. But joining us on the phone is Colin Casey from Pinnacle Driving Academy. Welcome, Colin.
Hi there, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, question. They caught some kid doing like 200 Ks on the 401, and he was impaired. He wasn't a graduate, correct?
Oh, sorry, guys. I think I'm getting broken up here.
All right. I'm just assuming that the guy who was driving crazy on the 401 was not one of your graduates.
I would certainly hope not.
Well, he didn't crash the car, I don't think.
Well, you know, we
so
got to
give him credit
caught.
For that.
He got caught. You know,
That's true.
What I love about what you guys do is you encourage people to take it to the track and not race on public roads. That's number one. That's so important. And then, that's just a rabbit hole, because there's so much to learn about performance driving.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly to your point. You know, especially nowadays, everybody has access to high-performance vehicles, it seems. So, you know, taking it to the track where you can really, you know, use the car's performance and do it in a safe way is really what it's all about. Especially, you know, when you guys know that, as well as I do, that when you take it to the track and you learn about performance driving, as much fun as it is, the important thing is all those skills you learn are directly transferable to street driving. So, you know, when it comes to car control, vision, all those sorts of things, definitely makes you a better driver on the street, not just on the track.
Absolutely does. That's why we're going to send Al to one of your courses this summer.
We will gladly take him.
I'm a hooker, and I didn't even realize what that was. And Brian said, "You're a hooker," and I went, "Yeah, it's easy." No, you don't do it like that, you know. And but it gets back to, I never went to driving school.
Uh-huh.
I went to Jack's driving school. Who was Jack? Jack was my dad. He says, "I'll teach you." but who knew if he knew how to drive properly? And then next thing that happened was I got speeding ticket after speeding ticket, because that's how Jack drove, you see?
Yeah.
And or did we know about the passing lane, that it's specific for passing? No. So you're only as good as that. And even now that I'm in the repair business, you know, you ask somebody if they've checked their oil, and they go, "You mean that's something you got to do?" Mm-hmm. But if you're not taught properly,
that's exactly it. You know, those of us who are interested in performance driving, we end up going down this path, and then, you know, it is like a rabbit hole. You can go so far. And Colin, what you guys have done, you have driver training, but you also have a competitive autocross series.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, exactly. So what we do is obviously our bread and butter is introducing people to the world of grassroots motorsports. But to your point, yeah, we try to facilitate different paths from that starting point. So one of the things we started a few years ago was a competitive auto slalom series. A bunch of our members, including myself, have been doing that for quite some time, longer than I care to admit. Don't want to give away my age here. But yeah, we have our series. We're starting season 2. It's a great series. We do it here in the GTA. We have 2 venues this year. One of them is Sheridan College in Oakville. The other one is the casino there, Elements Casino. Guelph Line of 401, 2 awesome venues, giant wide open parking lots. We set up a course with pylons, some tight technical driving, and it's a heck of a lot of fun, low cost, and anybody can come out in their car and do it. It's great.
How much in the way of your training? I mean, how many sessions do you need to sign up for, and are they all individual?
Yeah, great question. So again, our bread and butter is the introductory course.
Uh-huh.
So essentially what that is, it's a full day, 9 to 5 at Toronto Motorsports Park. We chose that track specifically because it is safer in the sense of the way the track is designed. It's flat. You can see everything. There's pretty much no walls anywhere, so you just go in the grass if you make a mistake. So it's a full-day course, 9 to 5. We have a couple of different dates offered throughout the summer. And the idea is it's specifically designed for people who either, you know, zero performance driving experience or very little performance driving experience. You come out and get your feet wet and start the journey.
And you can do it in any old car, right?
Exactly, yeah. We encourage people to actually bring their own vehicle because that's the car you're going to be driving on the street most of the time. When it comes to grassroots motorsports, usually you're competing in your own car, whether it be, you know, Time Attack, Autocross, or something else. So we want you to learn the specifics in that vehicle, especially since that's the vehicle you're comfortable with already. So it makes it a little bit easier to learn.
Now, if people want to learn more about the programs and Autocross, how do they find you guys?
Yeah, so best way is our website, pinnacledriving.com. We have a presence on Facebook and Instagram, things like that as well. But obviously on the website, you can link off to, you know, all our socials. You can link to any information you need, whether it's our courses, our lapping events. We do autocross, as we mentioned. So it's all there on the website.
A question. People are moving towards electric cars. Any specific training that's going on there?
Yeah, interesting question. So the electric car thing is interesting. First of all, you're starting to see a lot of governing bodies actually restricting electric cars from competing in grassroots motorsports. Because of the battery fires, right?
So yeah, it'd be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the average fire extinguisher you have at the racetrack for your normal situation like this doesn't apply to the batteries they have in electric cars. So in terms of the actual training, there's nothing really radically different. I mean, you know,
Casey, I gotta have to stop you. I mean, because you can't hear the music in the background, but we got to pay some bills. We do thank you for joining us, and check out Pinnacle Driving Academy. And if you got an electric car, he'll tell you how not to crash it.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what we do.
I call it grassroots. Is that because you're in the grass? Is that the runoff area?
Sometimes you are.
Perfect.
Yes.
And you don't want to light it on fire. That's for sure. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman, Jack Benzikar from Tire Butler, and Brian Redinger, special guest on today's episode. And we're talking about your Tesla,
yes,
Jack. You know, as much as I malign them, I'm just not a, you know, I get it. I'm just not a huge fan. But they are basically supercomputers on wheels.
That's all it is. It is a computer. It's a computer that they attach wheels to. It's a great utilitarian car. It you know, gets you from A to B comfortably. It doesn't have a soul. I miss the sound. I miss the smells of a traditional ICE, internal combustion engine vehicle. But it's like, you know, you get all these recalls for software things, and you're sleeping, and you wake up in the morning, and your car has been updated. Yeah. It's a supercomputer, and it's mind-boggling what they've been able to do in such a short time.
That's for sure. And, you know, all EVs kind of suffer from the same problem, which is they weigh at least 1,000 pounds more than any other car. And that has a huge impact on tires and how quickly you go through them. Because for me, not only does the weight have one consideration, but for me, I would use that throttle pedal aggressively all the time, and I would just burn through the tires. So, you know, the tires on your Tesla might last me 5,000 kilometers.
You know, most people who get an EV are surprised at how quickly they have to replace the tires. And it's one is the weight, as you described. Two is the acceleration. You know, you take advantage of it, the torque that goes on. Three is the regenerative braking. So you can actually hear, you know, when the motors start to slow the car down, when you're not using your brake, if you have the windows open in the spring, you can actually hear the tires sort of gripping the road. Yeah, you can hear them sort
really?
Of chirping in there as they're slowing down. So tires go quite quickly. And now the manufacturers are all starting to come out with EV tires, you know, like Saylan's coming out with some EVs, specific tires, the E-Range, and Michelin's coming out with some E-specific tires that are going to give you stronger sidewalls. They're going to give you a compound that lowers rolling resistance, but at the same time sort of gives you a bit more longevity, so you're not burning out the tires as fast. And you're getting the big thing on EVs for people is quiet. Because without an engine, all you hear is the harmonics of a tire.
And you don't realize until that happens that there are harmonics.
They are. Like when you stand beside a highway and you hear trucks and things, you think you're hearing the engines. You're not. You're actually hearing the tires. You're hearing the harmonics of the tires that are going by. So you know, we have noise, wear, rolling resistance, and these are very specific for EVs. That's not to say you can't use any tire on a car. It's not true. You can use any tire we'll work on. As long as it's got the right weight and speed rating, you can use any tire on an EV.
Absolutely. And the tire technology for EVs just blows me away because, you know, all of those things you mentioned have to be engineered into a tire. And what blows me away is that they're actually engineering these tires so that they're quieter than regular tires. That just blows my mind. But the nature of driving an EV is that it's a quieter driving experience, so they want less noise in the cabin.
Absolutely. The technology that goes into tires is always blown my mind away. I started in the tire industry on the corporate side. I was working for a very large company for years, and I'd go to the factories and the R&D centers, and I was amazed at what type, you know, the compounds that they were using in the rubber to make the rubber and the silicones and things, and how a certain chemical at a certain temperature would, you know, change in the tire. So they had to figure that out. It's really impressive that the amount of research that goes into a tire. And now it's changing because we've been doing the same thing for so long with ICE cars. And all of a sudden now with EVs, they've got to change that technology.
Well, question, you seem to know what you're talking about, tires. So if I want to lessen the rolling resistance to give me better fuel economy, do I not lose traction too?
If you
want it to roll as easy as possible.
Yes.
You want to get good mileage. You want it to be quiet.
Your traction will reduce.
What happens there?
And that's what the tire companies are trying to do now. They're saying, how do we lessen rolling resistance and increase traction, or at least keep it the same? And that's really where the research is going into right now.
This is where, Brian, as much as you mentioned that you can put any old tire on a car, one of the things that a lot of the electric tire companies do is that they have inserted foam inside. Eh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a friend of mine bought a basic Kia electric car and said, can you get me some snows? And I said, sure, and put them on. And he called me the day later and goes, I got a noise. I said, what kind of noise? I said, well, winter tires make noise. No, but this is different, you know. And it was the tires. And I didn't know about the foam because I'd never changed a Tesla tire before.
Yeah, so they put a thick roll of foam inside the tire. It's probably about an inch and a half thick, and it's just glued to the inside of the tire, and that's to reduce the noise. I think you'll see in the next year or two that'll stop, and they're going to actually reduce the compounds themselves will be, because those tires, if you get a flat, we'll only repair tires from the inside. We don't do plugs. So we'll have to sometimes cut away that foam in order to put a patch plug and vulcanize it to the inside of the tire. And I think the tire manufacturers are aware of that as well.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
What is funny, though, is that this technology was developed for EVs, but some luxury manufacturers are using it as well to reduce road noise. Yeah.
Road noise is you know, these cars, it's the one thing you notice when you're in a luxury car or electric car is the road noise.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm fortunate to drive all of these cool cars, and I drove the new Rolls-Royce Ghost a little while ago, and they spent so much time making sure that the harmonics are tuned perfectly, the road noise and the wind noise are reduced to a minimum. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I can't even imagine being driving on a highway and not hearing any noise at all, wind noise. I mean, you hear wind noise in these EVs, you know, like you can actually buy kits to fill in the little areas now to Tesla, like in the glass roofs, you can put these little rolls of rubber in to quiet it even more. Yeah, there's all sorts. There's a huge aftermarket thing going on for EVs now.
Well, maybe they should just spend more time making sure the gaps are right in the first place.
Yeah,
that
is crazy how bad the gaps are on those cars.
Now, we're down here in Liberty Village, and we look around, and all we see is concrete structures here. Everybody's moving into condos. I mean, was that one of the great impetuses as well for you guys? Because now that I'm in a condo, I don't have a garage.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we have, it's funny, when you go online to book an appointment, one of the questions, it's all automated, our system, but it actually asks you if your car is in an underground or not, because then our system will pick the right truck that will come to your home. And if it's an underground, so it fits in the underground. And it's the same thing with the storage. If you have seasonal tires and you got a locker in a condo, you're not going to use, 5, 10 square feet of space to store your tires. So we'll take them away. So that's going well for us, the condo market. But it's also the people switching tires now. That so many people now understand that winter tires are important and the seasonality of them. As a business, it's great. I mean, if people use tires all year long, it would be better for us, the same ones, because they'd wear out faster. But, you know, people don't realize you buy winter tires, they last longer. Your tires, your whole both sets last much longer.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I'm on my third season with these winter tires. Yeah. And you know, I don't drive this car all that often. At some point, they're going to have to come off because they're going to age out.
Yeah, that's it. You want to change it. We had a gentleman come by our main location. We have a location by Yorkdale on Bridgeland. And somebody came by there, and I happened to be outside, and we were talking, and he showed me his tires that still had a lot of tread on them. And when you looked in between the treads, you could see what's called the ozone cracking, you know, where tires that tend not to drive a lot will a rolling stone gathers no moss sort of thing. It's the same thing with tires. You want to drive a tire. If it doesn't drive and it sits, it starts to age prematurely and you start getting cracking, and that's, you don't want to drive that.
And that's another consideration that a lot of people don't understand, is that tires really, really do age out. They need to go at some point. I don't keep my tires all that long to begin with, but you know, when a tire's not getting driven, it is the worst thing. But you know, the problem is that an older tire effectively becomes a lot less safe.
They become like a hockey puck, and they just slide. And you can tell the age of your tire. It's quite easy to see it on the DOT. You know, a lot of the car manufacturers, if you read the owner's manual, they'll tell you that I think Ford says 6 or 7 years is the maximum to keep a set of tires on the vehicle. But you know, if you need to, tires are so important, and it's always amazing to me how people, you know, they'll spend a fortune on safe cars and all this technology, and then they're like, yeah, it's just tires. No, we don't need to worry about tires.
It's a funny thing because the manufacturers really don't talk about it too much, except when you're the performance end of things and whatever. So it's something that, you know, it's a consumable. It's an expense over the lifetime of the vehicle. People don't want to spend a lot of money, but the reality is, it's so important. It's literally the only interface between the vehicle that you're driving and the road.
Absolutely. It's you know, you have the proper tire. If it helps you stop 5 feet sooner, that's 5 feet that you just didn't get into an accident. And you know, what's a bumper cost to fix nowadays?
It's gotten crazy.
It's gotten insane. So you know, it's just. I just don't understand when people you spend the proper money on a set of tires, and unfortunately tires are one of those items in the world that you pay for what you get. It's a commodity. It's steel. It's oil. It's technology. It's what makes a tire. And you know, you buy a proper tire. You know, people go out and dress out in suits and dresses and things. You wear shoes that are according to the outfit you're wearing. Same thing for vehicles.
That's the match, you know?
That's right.
And the wheels, too.
The wheels are a big thing.
Absolutely. And you guys can help people out with wheels.
We have all sorts of wheels, and those are fun. And it's amazing how they change so quickly styles, cars and the styles. All the black and the black wheels for so long.
I hate those. And I have them. I hate them.
Yeah.
I hate black wheels.
Now it's just everybody's looking for back to silver and things like, and none of the manufacturers have them yet. So hopefully they're going to come back.
I hope so.
All the aftermarkets.
All right. We got to wrap because we've got to take I was going to say a coffee break, but it'd be a commercial break.
Commercial break?
I didn't bring a coffee.
I did.
Oh, perfect. All right. If you got a pen handy, if you want to write this down, it's 416-360-0740. Again, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. And you're going, why am I writing this number down? Well, we're going to tell you in just a minute. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. And joining us on the line is Trevor Hutchison from Crown. But before the break, Al gave you those phone numbers. Al, what are those phone numbers again?
Well, you know, Dave and Trevor go back a million years, right?
And
he was one of the first sponsors, I think. And,
no kidding.
And always, always, always so friendly and like to help our listeners. And before we put him on air, he's offered already to give a free application. So all you have to do is phone that number one more time, 416-360-0740, and you can get a free Crown application. Trevor, how are you?
Good morning, Alan. That was very kind of you. Morning, Brian. Nice to talk to you guys.
Well, no, it was kind of you because you're giving the thing away, you know. The red zone. What's the red zone?
Well, the red zone is exactly what's happening right now. It is what happens in spring when we get a combination of the temperature starting to warm up, the heightened humidity, and the beautiful moisture that we have on the road today. This really creates the most corrosive time of the year as far as it relates to metals and our vehicles.
Mm-hmm. All right. And because all winter it's frozen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When it's too cold, it's a little bit like the discussion you had earlier on the, you know, on the tires, right? Mm-hmm. And where the difference between temperature for, you know, for our winter tires and going to whether you're in an all season or a summer tire. Well, corrosion's kind of the same way, is that when it is too cold, corrosion is almost dormant. But once the temperature warms up, moisture is really the culprit here, and those de-icing agents that we put on the road all winter now start to activate again because of the moisture, and that's what's sitting underneath our vehicles, and that's what starts to corrode. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important that in the spring of the year that you take a look at getting the vehicle cleaned and then getting it rust protected.
And you sell product, in fact, people who, let's say they want to do things themselves, you guys sell product that way as well at the stores, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially like outside of, say, urban areas, that's a very common thing that happens, Alan, is that you'll have, especially out in farming communities, and that a lot of folks will do it themselves. But it's like anything. If people do good maintenance on their vehicles, mm-hmm. they're going to last longer.
Yeah. All right, we've got Jack Benzikar in the studio. He's got a question for you.
No, it's not a question. I had a 2003 BMW E39 Touring, a wagon. Mm-hmm. Wow. Great car. I love it. And you guys used to, I don't know if it's still there, but I had an office in Etobicoke, and I used to get that car crown rust-proof there right by the bridge.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something. That car still has no rust on it. It has one place on it, and that's somebody banged the door, and I had to get the door replaced, and it never got protected. And that's the only thing that rusted.
Well, so, funny you have to mention, because they do free spray afterwards.
Well, the funny thing is you talked about the product, because when they put the holes, I bought it myself,
right,
and just sprayed it into the area, and it was great. And it's a true story. The car is sitting in the back of our building, and it's in perfect condition. It's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that,
yeah,
Jack. Well, you know, one of the things that's happened, like Honda right now has a recall out for CRVs, and this goes back to fix a frame rust issue, and it's all because the problem was that road salts and de-icing agents in 26 of the northeastern United States, they're recalling them. And it involves over 500,000 CRVs. And what's kind of interesting is that this goes back. Canada did this recall in 2019. The U.S. has just done it. And they're going back to model years as far back as 2007. And at that time, the CRV was manufactured in the States. As of 2012, most of them were being manufactured up here in Canada. And, you know, Honda, like many manufacturers, build very good vehicles. The challenge is that what's going on our roads with these de-icing agents have a significant impact on frame components, braking components, wiring components, and without good preventative maintenance, this is what ends up happening, to the extent on this recall that in some cases Honda is actually buying the vehicles back because the repair is just too expensive.
Question, a lot of people are going electric. Are you guys prepared for that?
We are. We're currently working with a university down in Windsor, mm-hmm. On some studies on electric vehicles, and also in the heavy-duty truck bus industry, we're working with manufacturers on how to address these EVs. There's no question this is where we're going to, and the fact is that there are significant differences in these vehicles, and taking a look, first of all, is developing a product. We're fortunate that our main rust inhibitor was developed specifically with dielectric properties involved. Mm-hmm. But you also have to continue to refine your process. So a big part of our R&D the last 7 years, and it will continue to be for the foreseeable future, is going to be focusing on electric vehicles.
Well, I electrics are definitely a consideration. And I don't know if this is true or not. I think if you're going to be rust protecting them, it's important. But I heard on social media the other day, because electric cars are electric, that you can't actually wash them. Is that true?
No. It's not true.
Okay, good.
But you know, Brian, everything on social media is true, though, right?
That's what I heard.
I've seen it on the computer. It's got to be.
What I was going to say, Trevor, I drove through a blizzard earlier this winter, and after that blizzard, the snow and the ice and all that crap that was on the road was melting out of the car for 3 days afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, you think about all that stuff that was on the road that gets into all those little cracks and crevices underneath the car. To me, that is absolutely scary.
Yeah, it really is. And not to just true, Brian, and what you were saying about the washing the vehicle. The fact is that, like, on heavy equipment, whether it's a Class 8 truck or like a TTC bus, the fact is they do have to be careful, like when they are degreasing certain areas and that if you're driving water into electrical components, there are going to be issues, if it's not done properly.
All right, Trevor, we do have to bounce. We have to run. I'm so sorry. There's so much to talk about. How do people find their local Crown Rust Protection store?
They can get us at www.crown.com.
There you go. And that's Crown with a K.
Crown with a K. Thanks, gentlemen.
Trevor, thank you very much. It's so kind of you to give one of our listeners a spray.
You're welcome, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. This is Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Did I say something wrong?
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors, Jack Banzikar from Tire Butler, and Brian Renninger, son of
Dave Redinger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Son of Dave. So thanks for joining us.
From Dave Redinger.
He'd laugh at that too.
Yeah.
So we're talking on the break. This is one of those great times of year where the roads are just horrible. The potholes haven't been patched. And, you know, I'm running around on a set of like a minus one, a downsized set of wheels for my winter tires, because there's a little bit more sidewall there offering me a little bit more protection.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, every car, when you have your tire and wheel, whether you downsize or upside, everything's got to be the same overall diameter or within 2%. And you can do that by either sort of increasing the wheel, the metal part of it, and decreasing the rubber or vice versa. I find, you know, downsizing protects you from the potholes, gives you a bit smoother ride, you get more sidewall protection. As a matter of fact, I drive my car all year long, a Tesla, which is a bit heavy, and I have a lot of clients who use 20s that they hit potholes and brake tires all the time. It's a rough ride. I drive 19s all the entire year.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Downsize, yeah.
Other people have come on doing mobile service too, especially, I guess, during COVID, so there was no interaction. But what do you need to look out for when you're looking for a mobile company?
Yeah, there's a lot of people getting into this industry. We've been in it now for well over a decade. And, first and foremost, it's not a simple business. There's a lot that goes behind it. There's a lot of logistics. There's a lot of proper training. You want to make sure people walk around, they say they're insured. From a garage, you have to have certain types of policies. You can't just have your car insurance or truck insurance. We have a garage policy, which allows us to work on the cars. We have certain liabilities, because we'll make mistakes. We've made mistakes. We've had issues which cost us $20,000, but we were able to fix it right away. A lot of these guys who are out in this business aren't covered the same way, don't have the same training. You want to make sure they have a real location. Mm-hmm. We have a static location, because again, you we're there. So if you need something, we are there. You know where to find us. You, and there's a big building with a huge sign on it. If you want to complain, you're going to find us. You know, we're not, you know, I'm not hiding in my house somewhere. So.
Right. It's not like buying a car from a guy at a Tim Hortons.
Exactly.
You know? and then finding out it was stolen and you go, oh, right. It was a Tim Hortons. I don't know where the guy lives.
We see people, you know, you want the vehicle coming to you to be branded. Mm-hmm. You know, you want it to say the name of the company. You don't want some guy just popping out of his car. There's a lot of these sort of amalgamators where they'll offer, the website looks great, mm-hmm. and the guy just shows up in a car with a little hand jack and a lug wrench sort of thing.
Well, I was glad to hear Kerry Schmidt, who had reported on the last tire that came off.
Yep.
He said, they asked the driver, and he said, oh, my buddy put him on like the week before, eh?
Yeah.
It's nice that he wanted to do it, and he saved a lot of money. Well, until the wheel fell off.
And you have to do, you know, when you changing a tire and changing a wheel, it's not just tightening it. You know, if it's done right, the chances of a wheel loosening are slim to none. It means you gotta clean the back of the wheel. You gotta clean the back, the hub where the mounting surface. You know, if you hear an impact gun, just go and then just stop, you know, run away from that company. We use guns just to get to about 50 pounds, which is half of usually most tires. And then everything's done with what we call split beam torque wrench, where they do it by hand. And mm-hmm. it's set for every specific vehicle. And, you know, you tighten the wheels, they are cleaned and they get tightened by hand to the manufacturer spec. You're generally never going to have an issue.
And please, you know, don't ignore it. If you just had your wheels done and all of a sudden, 2-3 days later, you've got a funny noise that sounds like the wheel's falling off, there's a good chance it could be.
Yes, so you might want to stop the car.
Wheels do not just fall out without giving you warning. They will make noise and they'll make a racket that something's wrong, and then it's going to, you know, you have to be in tune with your vehicle.
Yeah, I turned the radio up, but I'm still hearing it. You know, that's not a fix.
You'll feel it. You know, people come if they have a vibration issue. The first thing we'll ask, where do you feel it? If you feel it in your seat, it's going to be the back of the car. If you feel in the steering wheel, it's going to be the front of the car. You know, so vehicles talk to you. No matter how modern and how new they are, they will tell you what's going on just by feel.
And don't ignore it. Otherwise, your wheel could be passing you.
Exactly.
That's what they usually do. Very bad is happening at that point.
Well, I want to thank Duncan for filling in today, of course. He did a great job. And our pal Carlos is in New York. I hope it's not raining there. I think he's out doing a marathon or something.
He's running around New York, yeah.
We want to thank Colin Casey from Pinnacle Driving Academy. He tells men how to drive properly.
Well, yeah, which is a difficult task.
Well, they're asking for help, you know.
They should be. So check out Pinnacle Driving. It's pinnacledriving.com, and they've got an autocross series as well as performance driving school at TMP.
Exactly. Don't do your racing on the street. You're only going to get in trouble if you do that.
Bad news. Take it to the track.
Jack, thanks for here again.
Guys, thank you so much. This was fun. I love being here.
All right. Jack from the Tire Butler. What's the number?
416-234-1688.
All right.
Or tirebutler.com.
Appointments still available.
Yeah, they are.
All right, we got to run. Drive safe, everyone. And if you hear that clunking, stop and check it out.
Exactly.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.